Welcome back to InPod, your home for all things Inflow. I'm your host, Nick Sweeney, and InPod on a Friday. It's kind of crazy. I didn't want to wait until next week to get this out to you. I'm really excited about this conversation. I've been playing it out for about a month now. This week, I wanted to talk about another one of the tools that we support at CATI and Inflow, but I don't think it's as well known. I don't think people talk about it nearly as much as we do SolidWorks or PDM, or even like CATIA and Innovia, and that is DraftSight. DraftSight is a really cool, kind of like AutoCAD light type idea, but instead of me going through and telling you, here's what AutoCAD is versus here's what DraftSight is, instead I decided to bring in one of the biggest names that there has ever been with AutoCAD and current DraftSight global technology evangelist, Lynn Allen from Dassault Systèmes. She's been kind enough to join me on the podcast this week. So we're going to be talking a little bit about DraftSight as a tool, what's really cool about it, some of her favorite functions that she found in DraftSight that were not in AutoCAD, as well as we're going to dive into a topic that I think about it a lot. I don't know why I think about it a lot, but I think about it a lot, and that is the fact that engineering seems to be a 2D world, but we live in a 3D world. So a little bit of my confusion there. I get some of Lynn's thoughts on that, as well as just a whole bunch of conversations about DraftSight, what's really cool about it, and how you can get started checking out that tool, even if it's just a, you know, I wonder if this tool's for me. Some of the questions that you might have, some of the concerns you might have, hopefully we can get through those today. So with that, I'm going to jump into my conversation with Lynn Allen. Have a great weekend, everyone. So this week, I wanted to talk a little bit more about DraftSight and some of the other products that, you know, I haven't talked about it so much, but it is stuff that we support here at Inflow and CATI. So I thought, who better to bring in to talk about DraftSight than someone that knows probably more than everything there is to know about AutoCAD and someone that is kind of come over to the good side of Dassault. I brought in Lynn Allen, the global technology evangelist from Dassault, to talk with us a little bit about DraftSight and how we can really use that tool going forward and what kind of solution it means. So Lynn, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to InPod.
Thank you, Nick. I am happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me, because I attended your webinar, I guess it was about a month ago, where we talked about, can DraftSight replace AutoCAD? And I thought, that's kind of perfect. Because working in the PDM world, I talk with people all the time that they've got their tools, they're really happy with it, but they're moving into this Dassault realm away from what they used to use. So what can we really do to get out of that? Or, you know, what kind of substitutes are out there that they could possibly look into? So I thought, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's really dive into it. But before we jump into all of that, I guess, can you give us a little bit of information about yourself? Tell us about kind of your background in AutoCAD and I guess your first version of AutoCAD, since we always talk about SolidWorks here, but first version of AutoCAD and DraftSight, just some background for the listeners.
Sure, absolutely. I'd be happy to. So I have been using AutoCAD a very, very long time. I started using AutoCAD at release 1.4, which I'm not even going to begin to tell you how long ago that was. I always like to say there were dinosaurs roaming the earth back then.
Oh my gosh.
but yeah, very long time ago in the very early days of AutoCAD. And I worked for Autodesk, the company that makes AutoCAD, for almost 25 years. And I was actually their face of AutoCAD for most of that time. And I've written several books on AutoCAD. I had a column in a magazine for over 20 years on AutoCAD back when people actually read physical magazines to learn technology, right? Before the internet.
Wow.
That's what we used to do. You know, and I've done hundreds of videos on AutoCAD tips and things like that, and I've presented all over the world on AutoCAD, and I will be the first to admit, huge AutoCAD fan. I really do. I love AutoCAD a lot. It's a great program. Certainly not here to diss AutoCAD today.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's not what we want to do with the podcast. We never want to diss our competitors or people that make similar products, even though I have used AutoCAD for a little bit and I've used SolidWorks, and we'll kind of dive into this in the podcast, but
okay.
I live in a 3D world. I like everything in 3D, so I have my own questions about the 2D realm that engineers seem to work in, but that's a different topic. I do want to ask, how do you write a book about AutoCAD or SolidWorks or any of that stuff? Because I've never been much of a writer. Like, I do the blog and I do tweets and stuff, but how do you write a book about a CAD tool? We hadn't really talked about this beforehand, but I'm very curious.
Well, I mean, there still are a lot of people who use AutoCAD And especially, Casey, you need to go back in time a little bit before the land of SolidWorks as well, right? Mm-hmm. AutoCAD was the thing, and 2D CAD was the thing, and AutoCAD does have the capability to do 3D. Like, it's a lot more painful than doing 3D in SolidWorks, I mean, by far. But people did manage to somehow get some 3D work done in AutoCAD, and it was the end-all, the be-all. So we had to explain to people how to use the product. And that's what happened in these books. So basically, I took people through the process of how to use AutoCAD. Now, my books tended to be more tips and tricks, more based mm-hmm. on you've already kind of learned the basics. Let's focus on the tips and tricks to help you be more successful at it in your everyday life. You know, removing picks and clicks and getting your jobs done faster. But, you know, I don't know. People bought them.
I always appreciate tips and tricks books and just even little blog posts about it, because anything we can do to improve our lives, make it better, make it so that we get our work done sooner, I'm always a fan of that. I talk about automation on this podcast a lot. I love automating stuff and anything I can do to customize things, like the SolidWorks menus. Every time there's the Model Mania, they talk about, oh yeah, use this shortcut here and all this stuff. I'm a fan of that stuff, even though I don't do it practically. But I think it's really cool to have that stuff, and having a whole book of it, that's pretty impressive.
Getting rid of tedium, right? We don't like doing extra steps when we don't have to. Anything that's tedious, we want to eliminate that as much as possible. Anything we can automate.
100%. 1,000%. Anything we can do to not do stuff over and over and over again,
because I'm boring. A fan of that. We don't like things that are boring. It's just that simple. So I get it.
Engineers, people, boring is not what we're here to talk about. But I guess I wanted to kind of dive into DraftSight a little bit, because it's a tool that I know we support. It's something that, you know, I've used it a little bit. My dad has been on the podcast a few times. He's a big DraftSight fan, but I'm only vaguely aware of DraftSight. I know kind of what it looks like. I've had it open a few times, but I'm not an avid user of it. So can you kind of give us the comparison? Because people that have AutoCAD or had AutoCAD and are looking for another tool out there, they come across DraftSight and they obviously want to know, what are these tools like? I've heard you describe them as fraternal twins, but can you kind of explain to us what that means?
So DraftSight is very similar to AutoCAD. You know, it's got the basic CAD essentials. It has the basic tools that you would expect, right? Lines, arcs, circles, dimensions, block equivalents, and so on and so forth. But the thing that I like the most about DraftSight is that, as I like to say, it speaks AutoCAD, so that any command, well, almost any command that you know inside of AutoCAD, you can type it in and it will recognize it inside of DraftSight. So you can feel right at home very quickly. So it is not an identical twin to AutoCAD. That would not be fair to Autodesk and all the hard work that they've put into the product, especially as somebody who used to work there. It would just not be right. It's against the law too, by the way.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
It is very similar. So you can walk into the user interface and feel comfortable right away. You can start using it right away. There's some nuances that you do have to get used to. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, there's some things that, of course, are going to be different. But there are some things that are good different, right, as well, that you mm-hmm. won't mind. You won't mind that they're different. You're going to go, wow, this is great. I actually like this better than AutoCAD. And then there'll be some things as well that you'll wish that were a little more like AutoCAD. So there's some give and take. But you know, it's because it isn't exactly AutoCAD. In some cases, the differences might be as simple as just a character difference, literally, like instead of object snaps, they're entity snaps. So it's not an O snap, it's an E snap. I think we can all get used to that, right? That's a piece of cake to get used to. And in some cases, mm-hmm. the names are completely different. But once again, you can type in any AutoCAD command and it will recognize it.
One of the ones that you mentioned on that webinar that made me very sad to know that DraftSight didn't keep it was the donut command.
I know. Isn't that hysterical? I know. It made me sad, too. I hope we don't lose any customers because they didn't call it donut.
I had to look up the donut command because I went, that cannot be true. Like, it's so perfect to call something donut. And seeing that DraftSight didn't use donut, I went, ah, that's a little disappointing.
You can type in donut and it will recognize it. That's the good part. You can still type it in and you can, you know, you could change it. You can type in donut and it will still execute it. You could go in the menu. You could change the name of it if it bothered you. But that would be an example where they didn't take the exact name. They used a different one. This gets kind of amusing. Those are the things that I find amusing, right? But So fraternal twin, not identical twin.
And I think that's a really cool thing about AutoCAD is the fact that, or AutoCAD and DraftSight together, is the fact that you can take what you know about AutoCAD. So you know it as the donut command. Everybody that uses AutoCAD, they know that. They're going to type that into that little search menu, which I didn't know that was a thing in DraftSight until you pointed it out. But you can just search for the command, and it's smart enough, like you said, it speaks AutoCAD. So it's going to know, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Here's what we're trying to find. So if you type in an AutoCAD name command, it should come up with a DraftSight version of that if it's different. If, in fact, it's the exact same, well, then perfect. You're right on track.
Basics are going to be the same. Lines, arcs, circles, you're not going to find dimensions. Those are going to be the same. But like if you wanted to purge, for example, I use that, which is, as I said, is a pretty terrible name for a command anyway. Who decided to name a command purge after a super violent movie? But if you type in purge, it executes the clean command, which makes a lot more sense to call the command clean because that's what it does. It cleans up your drawing, right? So mm-hmm. it would execute the clean command. But you don't have to know that. You don't need to know that. You can just type in purge and live happily ever after for the rest of your life. If you want, you can keep using the AutoCAD commands. You don't have to switch over to the DraftSight commands. But so the good news is you feel at home very quickly.
And that's one of the things that people always seem to be concerned about whenever they're considering or even looking at other softwares is, what is this going to look like for if I change? Like, what's the learning curve? And the learning curve is one of the things that I don't think DraftSight has too much of one. Now, for me, there's going to be a learning curve because I don't know AutoCAD. So I would have to learn the tool basically from scratch. But for an avid AutoCAD user, or for someone that is making that transition away from AutoCAD, or even someone that still has AutoCAD and they just have a DraftSight license too, it's going to be a pretty smooth transition into it. You don't have to learn a brand new language. You don't have to learn all new commands. It's not like learning SolidWorks. It's learning a fraternal twin of what's already there. And I think that it's a really good thing because one of the things you told me while we were preparing for this is that AutoCAD is still, I want to get this right, you said it's still the number one 2D CAD tool out there.
Absolutely. Which AutoCAD and AutoCAD LT between the two of them. Absolutely. And it has a very strong following all over the world.
So I wanted to ask you, what do you think makes people hesitant about potentially switching over? AutoCAD is still huge. SolidWorks does not have, it does really good with 2D drawings. You can still use DWGs, DSFs. You can export all that stuff out from your drawing files. But people are still really happy, really comfortable with their AutoCAD. So what do you think it is that makes people look at it, even if it makes perfect sense for them to go over to DraftSight? And we'll talk a little bit more about what makes them a good candidate for DraftSight. But what do you think it is that makes people so hesitant to say, I can look at that tool. I think that I could really learn it and make good use of it.
So are you asking why they aren't making the move over to DraftSight? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. There's a lot. I think there's a variety of reasons. I think that a lot of people just don't even know about DraftSight. Well, first of all, I would say millions of people have discovered DraftSight and have made the move to DraftSight. So that would be the first thing I would say is that oftentimes when AutoCAD users are made aware of the product, they do take a look at it and they do process and often switch over to DraftSight just because of it's so much less expensive and it can get the job done, right? But why would you be hesitant to do it? I think there's a variety of reasons. In the webinar that I did, I made it very clear that, look, if you are somebody who spends your whole livelihood, you're doing 10 hours a day on AutoCAD and you've spent your whole life living the AutoCAD dream and you know it inside and out and you identify with AutoCAD and you've customized the heck out of it and it is just like super important to you, you're not going to want to set that free. You're not going to want to switch over to another product, and I don't blame you. You should stay with AutoCAD for sure. And especially if money is, is no object, right? It doesn't make any difference to you as far as saving the money. You have a big budget. It doesn't make any difference. By all means, hang on to that AutoCAD, and I fully support you in that. But if you do care about the money aspect of it, that's what really gets people's attention, right? Is the fact that, you can DraftSight cost like per year what AutoCAD pass cost per month, right? So it's a dramatic cost savings and for similar functionality. And even if you do have a huge budget, most companies would like to take that money and spend it on something else. And mm-hmm. right? I think that's the thought process too. So I feel that if, you know, you're just not a good candidate if you really don't want to set that AutoCAD free, because you have to be open-minded. If you don't like change, I'm not a big fan of change, so I can relate to you. I totally get it. That, you know, you just have to be really open-minded. So, I mean, like, I think I, as I have said many times, am the worst candidate ever to make the move over to DraftSite. And I've said, look, if I can make the switch, I think, like, anybody can make the switch, because I'm such a diehard AutoCAD person. But, you know, I whined a lot. Oh, my gosh. It was to be a fly on the wall when I was making the move over to DraftSite, because I do know those AutoCAD commands backwards, forwards, inside out. You could close the lid. I could tell you what the third option in the Pieta command is, right? You know, I know it really, really well. And, so there was whining for sure. But after an hour or two, the whining stopped and I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't so bad. And then I also discovered some tools that were in DraftSite that were not in AutoCAD that I absolutely loved. And so there's, you know, you win some, you lose some. And there's some really cool features that really stood out to me that now I wouldn't want to live without, which I would have to live without if I made the move over to AutoCAD, right? So there's pros and cons in all these different products. You just have to decide what works best for you. What do you care about? Do you care about the money? Do you care about the functionality? Do you care about the, you know, what is it? You got to figure out what works the best for you.
Unfortunately, we don't all have a money tree growing in the backyard. That was one of the things that you said
in
the webinar.
Yeah. And I think we all wish we could have it. And I think you made a good point there, though, that, you know, if money, obviously nobody has a money tree. If we did, that'd be really awesome. But, you know, even if money's not necessarily your biggest concern, you've got, you work for the largest engineering firm in the world and, you know, money's not a problem. Well, what could you do with that money instead? Instead of using AutoCAD, like, you're looking at other tools, you're not connected at the hip to AutoCAD. You know, what could I do to reallocate that money to something else, to another project that we want to start working on, to another tool that we think is a really good investment? That makes a lot of sense to me, to be able to say, you know what, that, because I see that as one of the really cool benefits of DraftSite, is the fact that you can get started in it. It's a pretty low barrier of entry. It's not an expensive tool at all. As far as CAD packages go, I can't come up with many that are in that same stratosphere as far as price goes. What stratosphere makes it sound high?
I guess lower than stratosphere.
I knew what you meant. It's okay.
Yeah. It's affordable. It's an easy tool to get started with. And some of those other advantages that you pointed out, like, there are those features in there that are going to make your life easier. I guess, Lynn, what's your favorite command that you found in DraftSite that maybe you go, oh, I wish AutoCAD had something like this? What's that one command that you go, I could not live without this if I had to go back?
Oh, there's three that I really love, but there's the power trim command, which I talked about while I was still at Autodesk, that I wrote an Autolisp routine so that I could do that command while I was at Autodesk, because I had such feature envy. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny that I actually talked about that. I actually did an AutoCAD tip on this DraftSite tool. It was kind of funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it literally, just to explain it to you, it allows you just to trim without having to do any cutting edges. You don't have to do any picks or clicks. You literally just go into the power trim command and start to trim. You just pick where you want to go. And then if you want to extend, you hold the shift key down and it extends. And you don't have to do any boundary edges, cutting edges. It just works. It's magic. I love it. And then I also, when I worked at Autodesk, I used to joke, okay, you know what we all want? We want to just be able to put a window around all the objects in our drawing and just tell it to dimension and have mm-hmm. a dimension. And, you know, I go, but of course that'll never happen. Well, it almost is like that inside of DraftSite, because you literally put a window around the objects that you want to dimension. It's called a bounding box. And then you click on auto dimension and then a whole bunch of dimensions pop up on the screen. And then you just kind of pick where you want them to go. It's like, okay, all right. That's what I was asking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and there's another one as well where, I mean, one of the things that we spend so much of our lives doing is putting objects on the right layers, right? We're extremely layer dependent. And there's a tool that allows you to ahead of time say, okay, look, I want all my text on this layer, I want all my dimensions on this layer, all my hatches on this layer. And it takes it even further. All my circles on this layer. You can drive down to the very, you know, bare bone entities, so that as you're drawing, you spend less time worrying about flipping from layer to layer and spend more time focusing on your design, so that you have less likelihood of getting things put on the wrong layer. year. It's pretty fascinating technology that essentially, like we were talking earlier, getting rid of those picks and clicks, which are so freaking boring, right? And tedious. This allows you to set this stuff up ahead of time and then just, you know, go about your day without having to worry about those tedious picks and clicks.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Error checking and validation of your drawings, making sure that everything's accurate on the first try is such a nice thing to be able to have, especially, so you talked about the power trim. I know SOLIDWORKS has something, I think it's actually still called power trim even, and that is maybe my favorite command in SOLIDWORKS drawings because I don't have to be precise when I'm sketching stuff out. I can just trim away everything I want, just drag over it. It's such a cool command, and having it in DraftSight, it kind of made sense because they're both the SO products. So, of course, they're going to kind of propagate through each other.
See, look, I really like it. Came from SOLIDWORKS. See what I learned today?
It's SOLIDWORKS.
It's going to lead into my next big conversation that I asked you about this when we had our pre-show call. And it's one that I have this internal conversation. I'm a runner. I run a lot. I actually just ran a little bit ago. I have weird conversations in my head. And one of the biggest things is, we live in a 3D world. Everything that I work with is 3D. I've got a water bottle in front of me. It's in three dimensions. My microphone is in three dimensions. My chair is in three dimensions. I'm in three dimensions. And yet, every engineer I talk to, their biggest deliverable is their drawings. And I know this is part of why. But I wanted to ask, as someone that lived in that AutoCAD world, still does kind of live in that AutoCAD world with DraftSight and works all day with these 2D drawings, what do you think it is that's keeping us in this two-dimensional space? Because it baffles me. I grew up using SOLIDWORKS in school, and you know, everything I design is in 3D. When I design furniture, it's in three dimensions. I don't do 2D because 2D is confusing to me. If someone handed me a blueprint, I'd barely know what to do with it. So I wanted to ask you, as someone that works in this world a lot, what do you think is that obstacle between us staying in this 2D world where we are now and eventually getting to the three dimensions that, you know, we live in?
Right. So I totally understand where you're coming from. And I absolutely promise you that someday it won't be like this. It won't be that we're still so focused on 2D drawings. You know, we have to kind of look where we came from, right? We were drawing by hand on a piece of paper. And then we went from there and we moved over to CAD, which was in and of itself a huge, huge transformation. And then at some point in time, governments mandated DWG drawings, and that literally changed the industry and made CAD the standard. And when I first started teaching AutoCAD, people would stand up in my classroom. I don't know, maybe I wasn't a good teacher, but they would say, this CAD thing's never going to catch on. I could have drawn this five times by scratch by now, you know, and so on and so forth. It was a huge transformation, very difficult for people to grasp. So just going to CAD, 2D CAD, was a big deal. So now we need to make another big monumental leap, which you've already done, right? You totally get to 3D, so that we need to make it so that, you know, whatever the handover is, whatever the final product is no longer a 2D drawing. Now we need to make it a 3D model. But that's going to take a while. Because right now, deliverables, government deliverables, are still DWG. In the building industry, in you know, almost all industries, you'll still see that the whatever the final product needs to be is a flat 2D DWG file. So that's going to change. That won't stay that way. And it's already starting to change. The building industry is moving to BIM, building information modeling, where they're starting to demand these, you know, these 3D files. And this, of course, in the mechanical industry, you guys are way ahead and you've already been doing all this solid modeling work, and you totally get it. So it's only a matter of time where CAD, this 2D CAD, will become less and less significant. But it just is a matter. It's a generational thing. And I hope, Nick, I hope your generation, I hope you keep that mindset. And I hope that you move this force forward so that 2D drawings do become something of the past, you know?
I know it's one thing I'm definitely going to push for. Whenever I have the opportunity to do so, obviously I don't have a lot of chances to get in the government's ear about this, but we were kind of talking last week about the fact that,
you know, I'm 24. I live in an apartment. I don't have a house yet, but one day when I build the house that I want to build, the architect's probably going to look at me and show me the blueprint. I'm going to say, what is this? I don't know. I can barely read this. and obviously I'm not so old that I watched HGTV with my mom every time. Whenever I go home, she'll have that on. And they'll be remodeling kitchens and like they'll show the kitchen in three dimensions. And I go, yes, that made sense to me because I can see, okay, so that's how the cabinets are going to be structured. That's how the walkthrough is going to be. And that's how much space I'm going to have so that the dishwasher can open. I think kitchen because I love cooking. But like if someone showed me two dimensions, that's one of those things where I want this to be in 3D. And I hope that my generation is able to kind of start moving towards that because, you know, taking engineering classes at Ohio State, we had a pretty large class and we all took SOLIDWORKS. It was like an engineering 1182 or something. And I hope that kind of transitioned it because I don't know. I remember that class. I remember taking it and going, I don't like this SOLIDWORKS, and then calling my dad and going, hey, help me do my homework. Made it really, really easy. I was going somewhere with that, but I don't remember where I was going.
Well, I think that's because I interrupted you, and I apologize for that. I'm just so impressed you remembered the number of your engineering class.
I remember where I was going with it. One of the other things we talked about was students, even 10, 20 years ago, were going through drafting classes. They had to learn how to sketch stuff out on a drafting board. And then we started getting AutoCAD classes, and I'm sure Ohio State offers an AutoCAD class. I didn't find it. I didn't see it when I was signing up for classes. And that's one of those things that I've never taken a drafting class. I know how to draw stuff. I took an architecture class. So that kind of counts for something, I guess. But it's one of those things where I do see it shifting a little bit in the fact that a lot of people my age and a lot of people around my age, we did not grow up sketching stuff. I do not have a drafting table. I've had one before, but it was my dad's and he gave it to me as my desk. So I've never really gone through that stuff. So I do see it shifting a little bit. So I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic that we'll be in this 3D world very, very soon. Hopefully sooner rather than later for my sake and my sanity.
Right. Well, it will happen. It will definitely happen. It's, you know, just these changes are big and it takes time. You'll see like in the building industry that now more and more of these architectural firms are designing the buildings as a 3D model. But then they take that 3D model and they pull off these 2D construction documents, you know? Yes. So it's like, okay, it's kind of like, wow, you've got this amazing building that you can do energy analysis on and you can make sure that all the HVAC fits, everything's fitting. There's, you know, there's nothing's running into each other. And it's amazing, of course, what you can do with the 3D model that you cannot do with a flat 2D drawing. But then after they have this beautiful 3D model, they make all these 2D drawings off of it, the construction documents, so that they can turn them in because that's the deliverable. So at some point that last phase will hopefully go away. You'll be able to take that model, hand it to the next, maybe to the contractor so he can build the building or whatever, and then eventually to the facility managers without having to do those AutoCAD drawing files or draft site join files or however you decide to get your DWG, which by the way, draft site does a great job at DWG files. It reads AutoCAD files. It creates DWG files. You can, even if you're working with a bunch of clients that are using AutoCAD, you can use your draft site happily and hold your head up proudly. And actually nobody even needs to know, as I like to say, that you're using draft site. There's millions of people out there who are using it. And some people use it proudly and other people just don't tell. You can decide which side of the fence you want to be on.
You're making this really easy for me as far as my transitions and segueing into other stuff, because file formats are one thing that we see people talking about. So finishing up that last thought that we were going through with like the buildings, my very first thought when you said, well, they build the 3D and then they tear it down into two-dimensional drawings, they're creating more work for themselves, which confuses me. And I don't understand that. But with these different formats that we have, DraftSite is very, very flexible. It works with, I remember you showed two lists. You showed one list that was like, here are the AutoCAD file formats you can work with, and here are the draft site formats. I can't remember which one was larger. I want to say it was the draft site one.
Yeah, so draft site saves back further AutoCAD files, and it saves in more formats than AutoCAD does. It's I think I also shared that that story when I worked at Autodesk, where somebody said that they bought draft site because they needed to save back to a file format that even AutoCAD didn't support anymore, but draft site did. And
that's fantastic.
And then there was this other example where somebody had found out that DraftSight magically was able to fix corrupted drawing files. It's sometimes AutoCAD, whatever, things go badly and your AutoCAD file gets corrupted. There are some tools in AutoCAD to fix it, but they don't always work. And that can be a terrible thing. You could lose so much work, hours, days, weeks, months of work, if you can't repair your drawing file. And so this it was kind of an underground known thing that you could take the files into DraftSight, and DraftSight, I don't know what magic it did, but it would clean them all up and you could save it in DraftSight, and then they were usable again inside of AutoCAD. So it was just this, the point though, I don't even know if this is still the case. This was years ago when this was the underground thought process. But the point is that DraftSight really knows how to work with DWG files. It totally gets, it understands them very clearly. It knows how to dissect them, pull them apart, and put them back together and work with them. So you have complete data integrity. And I think that's the important thing to realize.
Yeah, and we can't promise that DraftSight's going to uncorrupt files. So if there's anyone that has
AutoCAD right now.
Right. If anyone's listening to this and going, oh my gosh, I need to download DraftSight right now to uncorrupt all these files, we can't promise it's going to work. It's worth a shot because, and this leads into kind of this final thing I want to talk about is how to get started with it. DraftSight does, correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn, it does have a free trial. You can actually get started with it. You can try it out right now. Go on to the DraftSight website, download the trial, give it a shot, see what you think, because it's an easy tool to get started with, especially if you're an AutoCAD user. Should look pretty familiar to you.
Yep. And you don't have to give them a credit card like you do in so many of these free trials, right? And when you try things out, because if you're like me, I always forget to cancel and then I end up getting charged and I get cranky about it. So
it's
literally
free.
You just download it, try it. You could technically see if it fixed your corrupted files, but you can download it and try it. And I am a huge proponent of that. Ultimately, we want you to be happy. We don't want you to buy DraftSight and not be happy. That is no good for anybody. That's not good for you. That's not good for us. So this would give you a chance to try it for yourself. Make sure if you do download it, you do it at a time where you have some time in your life to really work on it so you can give it a fighting chance to get comfortable in it, right? And pull up some AutoCAD drawing files and do some real work in it and see if it has what you need to be successful. It does not have every single AutoCAD command in it. As I also like to mention, that AutoCAD's been around for almost 40 years now, and it's a very, very big product. It's overweight. Yep. It's got a lot going in it, and they don't get rid of AutoCAD commands very rarely. And so consequently, there are a lot of commands that people don't use that are still in the product. So if you were, there was no reason for DraftSight to create every single AutoCAD command because you just wouldn't do it. It doesn't make any sense. Of course, they took all the key commands, the important ones, and the ones that most people use. But what if there's that one command that you have to have that's not in there? Highly unlikely, but that's why you want to download that trial and make sure it has what you need to be happy in it. And the other thing that I would say is that we have had customers contact us and say, oh my gosh, this one command is not in the product. If it was in it, I would live happily ever after. And we've figured out a way to put it in. So that's another great thing about working with DraftSight is that we're super responsive. We pay attention, we listen, and we do what we can to make you happy. I'm sure if you're a SolidWorks user, you're familiar with the SolidWorks user group and how much SolidWorks has fully embraced their users. They love their user groups and their users and their customers. And that type of attitude goes to DraftSight as well. We really, really love our customers, our users, and we want them to be happy. And I think that is one of my favorite things about Dassault Systems.
You'll find that in the SolidWorks community, which is, it's one of those things that I really like about it. I went to my first SolidWorks user group meeting in 2015 or something like that when I first started using SolidWorks, and I thought, this is so cool. There's this entire community of people that they're there to share ideas. Like, even some people, like, it's, this is one of your competitors, and you're working with your competitor talking about, well, here's one of the challenges I'm seeing. Well, how can I get over the hump? What are you doing to do this? It's one of those super cool things. And people like resellers will go to those events and we'll talk to people. We'll help out, provide our knowledge because we're supposed to be the experts. So that's why we're there. We're there to help people and understand that. I love that about the SolidWorks group and just Dassault in general. We have this great community. 3D Experience World was last month. You had a couple of really good presentations, by the way. I know we hadn't talked about that, but your presentations were phenomenal,
especially the fireside chat. I really enjoyed that one.
It was fun.
I think that embracing the community, embracing working with the SolidWorks resellers, because you can buy DraftSight on your own, or you can buy it through one of the resellers where we're there to help you. We're there to support you. That's the whole point of us being here. You can try that out. You can embrace the community. You can find other like-minded people. No, you're probably not going to find like a DraftSight user group meeting, but at any given SolidWorks user group meeting, you might find someone that is a DraftSight evangelist. You might find Lynn. Maybe she'll be at one of those events too.
I try to participate in them. And then, you know, also bringing up a good point, because I am also a big fan of the resellers, the SolidWorks resellers, which are also DraftSight resellers. And, you know, you do have the ability to buy DraftSight online, but if you buy it from a reseller, you're going to get support. You have the ability to get network licenses, which is something that you can't get anymore from Autodesk. So, you know, if you're in a scenario where you have maybe 20 people in your company that want to access DraftSight, but only 10 of them would be using it at any given time, you want to get a network license. That's going to save you a lot of money and give you a lot of flexibility with all those users. And you can do that through a SolidWorks reseller. And also, some of you like what we call perpetual licenses, and you may not know what that phrase means. That just means you own the software. It's like, you know, you purchased it, you own it. You don't have to give us any more money if you don't want to. You don't have to give us yearly subscriptions if you don't want to. You own it. It's yours. If you want to upgrade later, you can do that. But basically, it's, you know, some people just feel better by buying the product outright, not being nickeled and dimed like some of us feel, right? So that's mm-hmm. another route that you can do, but you have to do that through your reseller. And so I like the thought and the concept of going through your reseller to purchase the software. So big fan. You'll get a lot of support.
For anybody that, like, you want to know, what can I do? What should I do? I'm curious about this. This sounds like a tool that might be worth investigating. Check out the free trial. Again, just search DraftSight trial. You should be able to find it on Google. It's probably on the DraftSight website. After that, if you say, I like this, obviously you can get it straight from the website. You can buy it straight from there. Or you could reach out to a reseller, reach out to your local reseller. If that's CATI Inflow, hi, you might get on the phone with me. Otherwise, like, just find someone, talk to us. We're here to help you. We're here to help you find the right tool for you. DraftSight's got a lot of different levels to it. It's not just like you buy DraftSight, voila. There's like entry level, and then there's like supreme DraftSight user. Lots of different options, lots of ways for you to get involved. And I think that's the key takeaway here is give it a shot. Be open to change. Be open to trying something new. If it's a tool that works perfectly for you, great. Otherwise, stay with AutoCAD. It's a decent enough tool, I guess. You can still save it in PDM, so I'm happy.
That's good. I think that was all very well put, Nick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that's everything that I had on my list. Lynn, is there any final thoughts for the listeners about DraftSight, AutoCAD, converting, just, I guess, anything at all?
I think we pretty much covered it. I'm racking my brain right now. I think we've pretty much covered it.
Well, then, if that's everything we've got, then I think we can wrap up here. Lynn, thank you so much for joining me on this. I think this was a really good conversation. I learned more about DraftSight that I didn't already know. Obviously, I learned a lot about AutoCAD because I don't know anything about it. But thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
InPod listeners, I hope you enjoyed it as well. This was a fun conversation for me. Hopefully, you get a lot out of it as well. All right, everyone. So have a great rest of your week, and I will talk with you all next week. See ya.
Thank you.